the last word
with Life Pharmacy. Over 100 local pharmacies nationwide that are always here to help. Life Pharmacy. Live better together.
So let's turn away from all of what's happening in the world politically. We will be back to it tomorrow evening, but let's talk about the TV and streaming to look forward to in 2026 with Elaine Burke and Joe Shea. And Elaine, I suppose RT really go heavy, don't they, in January in the big programmes to get big viewing numbers in at the start of the year. So last night would have been very important, wasn't it, with Dancing with the Stars returning and also Room to Improve later on with Dermot Bannon. The thing I just noticed last night with Dancing with the Stars, it was on at home because Aileen's a fan. Are they running out of stars that they can, without being offending anybody who is actually on the programme?
I know, I think that's the nature of the Irish version of Dancing with the Stars. You know, they're not going to have the big bookings that you'll see on Strictly. And even Strictly does have some people that you are like, I can't always tell who in the partnership is the dancer and who is the celebrity here. So that is just kind of, I think, the nature of the game. And arguably, it probably is Paddy Maloney's last stand as a celebrity. Because, you know,
his just remind people of who Paddy is for those.
He is a celebrity for being on The Traitors. And he was very, very enjoyable on The Traitors Ireland, which was only aired like a few months ago. So how long he has in that star turn remains to be seen. But this,
because how many left feet did he display last night in his dancing?
It was not a strong start, but sure, it's the first week.
Let's hear how he got some feedback from the Dancing with the Stars judges.
Well, 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 who knew this traitor has the snake hips? I love that you were moving it. Do you know what? I can tell you have this ability that whatever she throws at you, you accept the challenge. And who knew you had this incredible musicality? Going forward, I think you're going to be my guilty pleasure.
Right.
Oh, Paddy, I just wish you'd brought the famous traitor's cloak with you tonight, because then I wouldn't have had to watch the hunchy posture, the stiff legs, and the stomping feet. I mean, you're just lucky that there's no murder on the dance floor tonight, Paddy. That's all I can say.
Okay, Joe Shea, what do you make about the start of Dancing with the Stars?
Well, pantomime season isn't over, obviously. It's broad and it's fun and it's sparkly. I thought the set looked great. I think the one thing that they always bring to it is they really go very hard on the production values, and that's so important for a show like that, because the last thing you want to do, especially with the, you know, UK version, BBC version, the last thing you want to do is have cheap sets, you know, cardboard sets falling over. So I thought it looked great.
It's very, very well done.
Yeah, it's very well done, and that's part of the power of it. I mean, it's still a ratings juggernaut for RT.
And sorry, it must be a commercial juggernaut as well, because I know, see, the advertising as well last night, I'd say there was a lot of expensive advertising bought in each ad break.
Yeah, it was jammed in there, and it was all kind of like Blue Riband kind of stuff, you know. There was 550,000 people watched it, so they had an audience share of 45%. So anybody watching TV last night, you know, 45% of them are watching RT1, and that's massive. And then they can keep it going at Room to Improve and Dermot Bannon, which was also massive as well. That got 537,000 viewers last night. So they've got these, you know, the big shows. And RT last night would have been really, really important for them. There are a lot of people who would have been watching very carefully what kind of reaction they get, and they'll be delighted today.
I was surprised that Dermot Bannon will be with us for the Culture Club on Wednesday as it happens, but I believe there's only four episodes of Room to Improve this year. Now, I can understand that it must be a very expensive programme to make, and also there are demands on Dermot Bannon's time. It must be difficult for him to get from house to house and the rest of it. But you would suspect that, you think that RT would actually invest in a longer run of Room to Improve, wouldn't you, Joe?
Yeah, I mean, that did surprise me when I heard it was only going to be four episodes, because when you have such a guaranteed audience winner, you the thing, and especially these days, the instinct is to flog it to death, basically, get as much as you can. You can only assume that Dermot Bannon doesn't have the time to do all of these shows, because you're right, very time intensive, not particularly expensive, but it's the time that you need to spend over it, and, you know, going back and forth and catching up with people. And also in the edit suite as well, that's a lot of work to make it look good, and it does look good. So it is disappointing for fans of the show.
The show relies on real people renovating their houses. Like, they're the centre of the show. Who's renovating their house in this economy?
Well, that came up as an issue yeah. last night on it, how much more expensive it is to actually do what might have been considered previously to be a small job.
Like, €200,000, I think, is the lowest budget on this series. And then there's one that goes up to €350,000. So, like, unless people have that kind of cash lying around to do up their house, it's not really something that people are probably doing at the
moment. Well, last night's was sold as a downsizing, but it really wasn't when you looked at it.
Well,
but that's a very good
cost
point.
Costs are so crazy it's a very good on point. The other side yeah. as well.
If you think about the, not, you know, 5 seasons ago or 5 years ago, the people were spending 120,000, you know, or in around that kind of level. It's gone insane. And the people, anybody who's trying to do work in their house will know that. So that's part of the problem as well. Maybe they don't have enough candidates to do it.
Okay. Are there other RT shows, Elaine, look forward to in the coming weeks?
I am looking forward to These Sacred Vows. That's coming to RT on February 1st. It's fronted by Tom Vaughan Lawler, which is interesting that he's the lead character in it because he's also dead within the first few minutes of the show. And then it's backtracking. So he plays this priest who visits this Spanish island for an Irish wedding to officiate it. And you backtrack a week worth to find out how he wound up dead at the start of the show. And it's from writer-director John Butler, who I know has a lot of good favour around him for Handsome Devil, that film that was quite a critical success when that came out a good few years ago. And it's got a really interesting cast, not really big names aside from Tom Vaughan Lawler in there, but some up-and-comers who could be making a name for themselves through this show. And it's nice to see a production like that with an opportunity for people in the Irish creative scene to get involved with. So yeah, These Sacred Vows on RT.
Okay, what other RT shows, Joe, are you interested in?
Well, because I'm based in Cork, because my day job, we kind of cover this a lot, but Any Given Day, Cork University Hospital, CUH, it's starting on Wednesday this week at 9:35 on RT1. This is a 6-part documentary, and it has that thing that all documentary makers want these days, which is, they say, full access behind the scenes. So they allow to go into the biggest hospital in Munster, and CUH is massive. It's really busy. In recent years, it's had its issues. They've had problems there, not least the being understaffed and overworked. The A&E there is not a great place that you want to end up in. So I think this look at CUH, Cork University Hospital, as I said, the biggest hospital in Munster, I think that's going to be fascinating. If they do really get in behind and see the nuts and bolts and see the pressures and the stresses that people are operating under.
Okay, is there anything else in RT, Elaine?
I'm sure there is, but okay, not on
doing,
my list.
Okay, they're doing more reality shows. I think they also have another Garda series, a bit like the one that Virgin Media did Inside the K a few years ago. But what about Virgin Media? What has it been able to show? Because it operates on a fraction of the budget of RTE.
Yeah, and like something that we're seeing now as well is that some of the stuff that we were maybe tabling when the autumn schedules were announced has been pushed into spring by both of the broadcasters, and one of them that's come to Virgin Media that was highly anticipated when they first said that they were bringing this to Virgin Media last year is The Assembly, and I know Joe's looking forward to that as well. It's that concept of an interview that features very high profile people. They've got Micheál Martin as one of the interviewees on this season, and the interviewers are a audience of neurodivergent people, so you can get some very unexpected questions and some very frank conversations. Joanne McNally is also going to be a guest on the Virgin Media season. I can't imagine she'll shy away from answering anything directly on it. And as a concept, I think it's really interesting, the UK version of the show. I've seen the episode with Michael Sheen. It's very enjoyable. They've had Gary Lineker on, and yeah, I think it's a really incredible concept. I don't know why it's been pushed out, but we're getting it soon.
And I see they also have their own medical one. They have First Timers on the Frontline, I think, isn't it, which is coming out in February. Yeah. Joe?
Yeah, they'll be looking for a sort of Inside the K, a repeat performance, because Inside the K did really, really well in terms of getting an audience, but also I thought it was really well done as well. And Virgin Media showed that they can make shows like this. So this First Timers on the Frontline is basically looking at paramedics and frontline responders. So this is a 4-part series, and the cameras go right into the action, and it's mostly with probationers and first-time paramedics who are kind of finding their feet, learning the ropes, and being thrust into these like the most dramatic situations you can imagine, lives hanging in the balance at all times. So I think that's February 4th, First Timers on the Frontline, and like I said, they'll be hoping for a repeat of Inside the K.
Okay, Elaine, you've got us a pick of the week, something that's available on Sky and Now TV from this weekend, which is getting a lot of international attention, a Canadian show called Heated Rivalry. What's this about?
sex. Lots of sex. A very heated rivalry. An ice hockey show has become the hottest show of the year. It came out in Canada and America just before Christmas, and it was all over the internet how hot and sexy this show was. But apparently it also has a bit of emotional heft to it as well. And the story is centered on these two rival ice hockey players who start getting it on in secret behind the scenes. You know, they're rivals on the ice. They are definitely not fighting each other off the ice. And yeah, it follows years of their relationship. And it's a story of love, denial and self-discovery and lots of sex.
Okay. Is this one that's going to appeal to you, Joe?
I don't think I'm the target audience, but I think it will absolutely appeal to teenagers, younger audience, because I've seen it, bits of it, and the main actors are fantastic looking. It's all very sexy looking, and it's very kind of glamorous, and it's very heightened as well. And it's exploring, you know, interesting same sex relationships and issues that people be interested in. So I think, yeah, it's all over the internet. I think it's going to get a huge audience.
Already mentioned the Irish Traitors. Of course, the British have a new series of The Traitors on BBC at present. This is The Traitors finding out about a new element of the game called The Secret Traitor.
To The Traitors, the night is still young. And as they're about to find out, this castle is full of secrets. Even for them. I have a small confession.
Oh no.
You are not the only traitors in this castle. At the round table, I picked one other traitor. The secret traitor.
No. Oh my God.
You still have power, but not quite as much.
This is twisted.
Just the way I like it. Tomorrow, the real work begins.
Well, that's a twisty-turdy thing, isn't it?
No, that's just made it so much more complex.
It has.
We don't know how long we've got to survive for.
No, but we need to regain our power.
And then chuck this person under the bus. How dare they usurp us?
Oh my goodness. Is that what you do to us?
Okay, tell us all about it.
So yeah, this is the moment where a franchise that has gotten massive has to do something to retain interest, essentially. So this whole secret traitor concept is what The Traitor's trying to do here. They've already aired 3 episodes so far. It started on New Year's Day, and then there'll be another 3 this week from Wednesday to Friday. I was away and I've missed the first 3, and I feel like I can kind of join in now Wednesday, because the secret traitor thing is going to be revealed on Wednesday, and I will have missed that new twist, but I will be able to join the show at a new starting point, and I'll be fine, I think. But it's been a massive sensation as a show across many, many territories. They have a traitor already banished within the first 3 episodes, which is the worst performance for anyone on the UK show, but it has happened, I think, before in like the Australian show, so he's not the worst in the series in total.
Joe, there's been an awful lot of fuss about the return of the Night Manager, the first series of which from nearly a decade ago with Tom Hiddleston and Hugh Laurie was terrific. What's season 2 like so far?
Well, Ben, I'd love to be able to tell you, but I've been watching so much. There's so much happening right now in the first few days. I've taped this and I haven't seen it yet, but it's done really well in terms of critical response, in terms of social media. I loved Night Manager 1. I thought it was really, really fantastically done with great acting talent on the screen. So I'm really looking forward to seeing it. The Night Manager, yeah, definitely. I'm going to watch it hopefully tonight or tomorrow night.
And what about the latest Harlan Coben on Netflix, Runaway? Have either of you watched any of that?
This is what I was saying, Matt. There's too much on. And also, we were still in festivity mode. Like, I got through Stranger Things and then I went on holiday and I have a lot to catch up on.
Did
already.
Stranger Things live up to your expectations?
I loved it. I know it was divisive for some people. I don't know what show they were watching, but I thought it tied up things quite nicely. There was loads of plot holes and things like that, but I wasn't expecting, you know, the tightest Agatha Christie level of writing or anything like that. It was really, really sweet and beautiful.
Thank you very much, Elaine Burke, Joe O'Shea. Happy New Year to both of you. We'll be talking to you each Monday here on The Last Word on Today FM.
The Last Word with Life Pharmacy. Over 100 local pharmacies nationwide that are always here to help. Life Pharmacy. Live better together.